Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. I would be exhorting tonight and simply flowing with what we're feeling if I didn't know for absolute certain that God gave me a message for tonight, that I questioned 1,000 times over, how in the world will that fit on the last night of a conference? Genesis chapter 23. I'm going to read to you there a few verses, then on over to Genesis 49. Finally, two verses in Genesis chapter 50. They're all referring to the same subject matter. Genesis chapter 23, verse 17, and the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave, which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of the city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre. The same is Hebron, the land of Canaan, and the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Seth. The very first of the patriarchs was buried there in that chapter. The very last of the patriarchs is found in chapter 49. And I'll begin reading at verse 28. Said, and all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them, every one according to his blessing. He blessed them, he charged them, said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, and in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite, for a possession of a burying place. For there they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife, and there I buried Leah. Finally, two verses in the 50th chapter, verses 4 and 5. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, lo, I die in my grave. Notice those next few words. I have digged for me in the land of Canaan. There shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on what the Jews call Machpelah. It's not called that at all, if you've read any of the literature at all. That cave is called the Cave of Couples. The Cave of Couples. I don't want to exclude anybody here today. I know you're not all married. I know there's preachers here. I know. Maybe your wife's divorced you. Maybe there's preachers' kids here. But I'm going to preach to you to help you also tonight. I want to talk about the cave of couples. Is there anybody besides me that's interested in that place? I want to know how to get there. Hallelujah. And that's where I want to be buried. Hallelujah. Lift your voice and ask God one more time. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Oh my God, with Holy Ghost anointing. With Holy Ghost power. With Holy Ghost power, God, use me to preach the word of the Lord. I thank you, God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Adam and Eve were the very first couple that we read about in all of the Bible. I used to get amused until I started getting angry when I read little children's stories about what happened in the Garden of Eden concerning Adam and Eve and God making them a couple. In even religious books, I have read the children's stories that they start out with trying to explain on a child's level that all of the other animals had a mate. Well, first of all, it just goes down sideways when they try to say the other animals. Because I know beyond all doubt that me and the monkey ain't no kin at all. And you better know that. You better get that down in your heart and understand that. But I hear him explain now the giraffe. The giraffe had a mate, and the kangaroo was hopping around, and the kangaroo had a mate, and the squirrel was enjoying having a mate. But somehow God looked down there and he saw this lonely man by the name of Adam, and he did not have a mate. And I want to scream. I mean, I want to scream real loud, because the Bible does use the term mate, but it's only referring to the animal kingdom. Any time that word is ever used in the Bible, amen, because all that mate means is a female associate. That's all that it means. Amen. A female associate when it's used in the Bible. Now, if you want to use the term mate to talk about the sock that you're missing, or the shoe that you can't find, or anything, I'm fine with that. You're not going to make me upset. Amen. But when you get to talking about human beings and messing with what God did in that garden and trying to twist it all around to saying that, you got a fight on your hands. I'll just tell you that. Because the Bible does not use, not even the terms that I have heard some people say, it was a helpmate. I said, no, 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 no. You haven't read your Bible very well. Amen. And I don't have a whole Bible lesson for you tonight. But helpmeet, if you will take and look that up in the Hebrew. I know in the English Bible it's two words, but it's only one word. And that one word is the word Ezer. It's not geezer, it's Ezer. Amen. God used one word when he talked about what he created to turn Adam into a couple with the woman that God had prepared for him there. Amen. And Ezer. Whoa, I like it, because Ezer is used only in the scripture when it talks about divine help. Oh, hallelujah. Every other time that you read the word Ezer, and it's used a lot throughout the scripture, amen. I'll explain to you about Ebenezer. If you're from the South, you don't need any explanation. There's 14 Baptist churches that got Ebenezer in the name somewhere in the name of their church. But Ezer is only used by God to talk about divine or spiritual help that God gives. In our mind, amen. And so often the philosophies of this world teach us that a wife is for the domestic duties. Now don't get scared. I'm not firing your dishwasher. Amen. Thank God for the additional blessings that a good wife knows how to be all on her own for her husband. Thank God for that. Amen. But spiritual help was way more important in the mind and the purpose of God than clean laundry, than home-cooked meals, than romantic sparks that was flying between a man and a woman, and their knees started getting the collie wobbles when they looked at one another. Hallelujah. The Almighty God knew that spiritual help was the greatest need that a man had. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I'm all for keeping your romance alive. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, keeping your spiritual pursuits alive together are 100 times more important than your romantic sparks flying every day of your life. Eve was God's divine help in a human package. I knew I had the mind of God when I heard that choir up here sing. Man, I am telling you, I'd pay big money to fly anywhere to hear that again. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God said, Adam, I know she's a knockout, and I know you hadn't seen anything like that, and I know it's tantalizing to your flesh right now, but I'm going to tell you, she is so much more than what meets your old carnal eye as you are looking at her. She is the easer of your life. She is the divine help that I know you are going to need every step of the journey as you start off to do my will for your life. Now, I know I've already got some chauvinistic preachers mad at me. I'm a big boy. Yeah. Even though I've lost some weight, I'm still a big boy. I can take it. Yeah. My elders are my divine help. Me and God and my elders. I'm going to ask you, who washes your dirty underwear? It sure ain't your elders. Nobody loves you like she does. No, I'll say it again. Nobody loves you like she does. Nobody on this earth loves you like that Ezer that God gave to you. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God saw Israel needing a little help out there on the battlefield. he started thundering to get the enemy all shook up. When they got done, amen, they dedicated that big rock. And they said, we're going to call this Ebenezer. Ooh, hallelujah. Simply means, Eben means to build. Ezer means with divine help. Hallelujah. I'm not out of the book, some of you. Amen. I know I'm down your throat, but I'm not out of the book. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Divine help. Divine help. Divine help. Amen. I'm going to tell you, winning or losing your battle is going to depend on whether you got some divine help in your corner. Whether you got some divine help that's scotching your wheels. Whether you got some divine help that's praying for you every day. Amen. Some divine help that's saying, God, we're a team about this work that we're doing. Amen. And it's not a one-man show. My husband's not the Lone Ranger. Amen. And together, I'm going to help him all I can. I'm going to do everything that I can possibly do. Ooh, hallelujah. There are wives here that are fighting depression. The devil tells you you're just a dirty little doormat. You're just the unneeded part of this equation. It's a lie from the pit. It's a lie from hell. I'm begging you, amen, to rebuke that spirit tonight before we leave this place. I'm begging you to get a revelation, amen, that said, you know what? I can pray earnestly for my husband every day because my prayers, amen, could make the difference on whether he bites the dust today or not. Amen. My prayers could make the difference whether he gets discouraged and hangs up the ministry and finds some other way to make a living. My prayers, I'm getting down on my knees and I'm saying, oh God, my husband needs some help. This church needs some help. Amen. That's why you're praying for the Sunday services that are coming up when you get back home, because your husband needs some divine help. In a human package. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. I'm telling you, you can have date nights twice a week. Read every marriage book. Go to every marriage seminar that you can go to. Have a hotel getaway every other week. But except the Lord build the house. Unless you're locked arm in arm in a spiritual pursuit. Oh, hallelujah. 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 It said we're striving together. We're dreaming together. We're praying together. We're doing the Lord's work together. We're giving it all we've got together. Hallelujah. Adam had a prayer life before Eve arrived. Adam had a consistent walk with God. Now, I'm not preaching for your wife to do your praying or get your sermons. No. Adam had a prayer life before Eve arrived. I don't know how long, but they walked and talked together. Let's just say it was an hour a day. God looked at Adam during those other 23 hours out of the day and said he needs some divine help for the rest of the day. Hallelujah. He can't do it on his own. He can't make it on his own. I've been watching him. He needs some divine help. Amen. You say, no, that's not what I thought. I'm telling you, there were no kitchen duties in the garden. No laundry days. You get the picture. Amen. There was no baby diapers. And there was no lusting for other women that Eve had to fight for her husband for. But there was still an empty gnawing in the spirit of a man that needed some divine help, that needed God in a human package to be with him and be a companion to him. Amen. And help him through the journey. Hallelujah. 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 To reach heavenward. A couple that was in love with God today. Together. They had a spiritual union about them that said, come on, honey, come on, baby, together, let's do what God has called us to do. Together, let's accomplish the work and the purpose of the Almighty God. Amen. I'm preaching about the cave of couples. I have a lot of questions about couples that are trying to stay together, but that are not spiritually growing together. It's only a matter of time. It don't matter how good it looks on the surface. It's only a matter of time. Amen. Yes, it is. Death caught Abraham by surprise. Of course. Shouldn't have, because she was 127 years old. But he was 137. And you know us men, well, that's why we take out life insurance. We believe we're going before our wife is. We just kind of convinced ourselves of that. So he figured, as long as I'm still kicking around here, I don't have to worry about old Sarah, but she upped and died on him. Abraham and Sarah had been joint heirs in God's promises ever since they set out for the promised land. Beautiful things God had did for them along the way, but now she was gone and there was no family plot. You see, they were pilgrims and strangers in that land. There was nothing available where they could go and lay her to rest. The Bible said that Abraham did a little dealings with the children of Heth that were there. Amen. And for 400 shekels of silver, he didn't just buy a cave. But the Bible said he bought a field, he bought a cave, he bought all the surrounding trees and landmarks that were there. As if to say, if I ain't back here in a year or two and things change in the landscape, I'll still know where to find this place. All right. Amen. Every bit of it I'm buying today before I bury my wife there, because I got some plans and designs for it. Machpelah, amen, is the second holiest place in Judaism today. The Wailing Wall is the only place that supersedes it. That's where they go to pray. But Machpelah is where they stay connected to their elders. The second holiest place. Amen. It's revered. It's loved. It's respected. It's not just out in a corner somewhere. Matter of fact, amen, the measurements of it are 375 feet by 500 feet. Pretty good size burying place. Matter of fact, it was bought to be large enough for hundreds of couples from every tribe of every generation of Israelites to be buried there. But only three made it. Only three couples were ever buried in that large, large cemetery plot that was bought for that express purpose that was there. No, you don't read about any of the 12 sons of Jacob making a spiritual journey together with their wives. No, you don't read about it. Matter of fact, the only other place in all the Bible that I can find where a couple got buried together was a couple that was rebellious and lied to the Holy Ghost. Got carried out and buried together. It seems like it was lost after the first three generations that didn't somehow transmit on to the future generations that's there, that this is what it's all about. It's not a one-man show. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not, amen, how far you can eclipse, amen, that beautiful easer that God made you in the eyes of the people. But it's journeying arm in arm, heart in heart, hand in hand, side by side, along the trail of life. Amen. Saying, God, we started together on the wedding day. We prayed together and asked you to be with us forever. And now we are committed to go all the way on the journey together, to love and serve our God with all of the heart. Why was it important? Machpelah means to fold or to double. You get double the strength. You get double the warmth. You get double the protection. Oh, hallelujah. And anybody could ever get all on their own. You get double out of the deal. When you're dealing, oh, it's already been preached here. Amen. About one can put 1,000 to flight. But two, oh, hallelujah, can put 10,000 to flight. Amen. You know what that means? That your wife is 5 times as strong as she would be by herself if you're standing by her side. That your husband is 5 times as strong as he could be on his own if you are standing by his side. Amen. No wonder Machpelah appealed. The couple said, Machpelah is for us. For us. We're going to hang on to God's promises together. We're going to live by God's laws together. Oh, hallelujah. Not one pulling one way and the other pulling the other way. Not one begging to let up. Amen. And the other saying no, 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 and fighting against it. Oh, I was so deeply touched years ago. A young preacher I was. And amen, I was invited to preach at a conference, and they were, it was called a heritage conference, and they had one preacher that preached, amen, that represented the young upcoming generation, and then one the present, and one the elders that was there, and I was the one chosen to preach, amen, about the upcoming generation, and I just reared back, gave it all I got. An icon in Pentecost. He and his wife, both white-headed, sat at the table as I walked by in the restaurant that night. He reached out. He grabbed me. Big old tears unashamedly streaming down his face. I looked at his wife and she was crying too. They were holding one another's hand. He said, Brother White, Blanche and I decided a long time ago
about we're going to live God's laws together. And a lot of our preacher friends of our generation have gone another way. But we're going to end the journey just like we started the journey. Ooh, I don't know. It tore me up, brother. It tore me up to hear an old elder talk like that to a young one that was standing there. Hallelujah. Amen. Machpelah, my friend, ought to be the desire of every last one of us that are here. Amen. Because guess what? If we live by God's laws together, we get to go to heaven together. We get to rest in peace for all eternity together. We get to know the joys that the Lord has prepared for us. Three successive generations were buried there at the cave of couples. They were committed to share the spiritual journey together to the end. It was Abraham and Sarah. It was Isaac and Jacob. Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah. Now I'm going to give some of you a whole lot of hope. It gave me a lot of hope. They all had lion in their genes. They did. She's my sister. King said, "You're awful cozy with your sister, Bubba." He hadn't quite seen it like that before. Didn't matter if it was in Egypt or in front of the king of the Philistines that was there. They all had integrity issues that needed a whole lot of attention along the way on the journey. Amen. Deceiving one another was certainly in that family tree. I mean, when mama sews goat skins on the arm of one of her sons to fake out her blind husband, they're not the paragon of perfection. You know what I mean? They're not really Mr. and Mrs. Pentecost. The apostolic couple for everybody to pattern their lives and their marriages. No. Hear me. Couples that walk together are not perfect people. They're not perfect people. They're not flawless individuals. Amen. I preach to you tonight that they are deeply flawed human beings. Amen. They make terrible mistakes. Amen. They make wrong choices. They hurt one another in the process of the journey. They do stupid things that they live long enough to regret their stupidity of what they did to one another and what they did with their children. Oh, my friend. Amen. If you're a couple here today saying, "He's a whole lot less than what I dreamed of marrying," I'm glad he is. Or your dreamer would be broke. Because the human mind can dream up far more than any human being is ever able to deliver.
Yes, it can. And yes, it does. Well, hallelujah. She may be a little less than you dreamed of marrying too. But it ain't time to quit the journey. Ooh, hallelujah. Because along the way toward that cave of couples, amen, God keeps on working on all of us. God keeps on perfecting us. God keeps on giving us another chance. God keeps on, amen, letting us start encouraging one another and strengthening one another and saying, come on, baby, amen, I forgive you. Will you forgive me? Amen. Let's not lay here in the mud puddle. There ain't no sense in this. Hey, we started out a long time ago, amen, with a destination in mind. And as long as I got you by my side, I think I can journey on. I think I can get up and try again. I think I can give it a little better shot. I've learned from my mistakes. Come on, come on. That's why we need divine help in a human body. Need that package. Imperfect people are the only ones that can be buried at Machpelah. Did you hear me? Imperfect people are the only ones that were ever buried at Machpelah. If you're all into your own spiritual ego and polishing one another's little halos, we'll meet somewhere, I hope, later on the journey. But it won't be at Machpelah. Those living a lie are the only ones that are excluded from the cave of couples. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. We all are so grateful that our saints don't hear us giving a Holy Ghost blessing to one another. I feel real sorry for folks that still live in parsonages right next door to the church. I remember those days. God have mercy. I got as far away as I could. Amen. Live up on a hill, and now I got a wrought iron gate that don't let any of them drive up by surprise. Because I have been caught by surprise. Doing, amen, some unpastoral-like talking. Don't you love it when I talk about me instead of you? Yeah. I did a little Google search as I was studying. Looked up Machpelah. And it went to a cemetery in Queens, New York. I thought, that ain't it. That ain't it. But I got interested anyway. Because I wanted to see who was buried at the wannabe cemetery. And guess what? The fanciest tomb, the number one draw and tourist attraction for the Machpelah Cemetery in Queens, New York, is the Great Houdini. Imagine that. He's got an elaborate
tomb there for him. You're not required to be a couple to be buried there. And I'll get to that in just a minute. His wife had lost all respect for him. She didn't want to be buried by him. But he's got this great, ornate, beautiful Houdini the Great for everybody to see. Amen. His dad was a noted rabbi. His mom spoke only Yiddish to him his whole childhood because she so desperately wanted him to grab a hold of their Jewish roots that were there in their life. His wife, when he finally married, she got angry at him because, amen, she said, it's not right you conning people the way that you con them by your tricks and by your illusions. You're a fake. Yes, you are. Amen. And you want to convince people that some of the things that you're doing are all this supernatural power. And all it is the invention of your mind. How you can grow your fame and grow your popularity and grow you into being this world known figure that is everywhere. Amen. She hated him for that. She refused to participate with him in any of his acts that were there until he bribed her and said, if you'll go along with the hypocrisy here, it'll mean more trips to the mall for you. It'll mean more money for you. It'll mean more of everything for you. You'd be such a valuable part of this charade that I'm playing. If people could just see you acting the part too, they could just see you up here involved in it too. He went so far that he hired an orchestra. And the orchestra would be at the auditoriums that he rented. The orchestra would play, and he told them exactly when to make the music get real loud. Because some of the things that he had allowed himself to get locked up inside of, he had replaced the strong steel bars that would hold it with some real soft metal bars that's there. And with a teeny weeny little knife, amen, as the orchestra would crank up the music, he didn't want anybody out there to hear him. Sawing through those bars and getting the bars all out of the way. And then all of a sudden just magically stepping out and everybody oohing and awing. And whoa, we've never seen a man like this before. Look at what he does. And they'd pay the money to him, and he and his wife, amen, could enjoy it all together. Amen. The greatest hindrance to the cave of couples that I've ever found are the Pentecostal Houdinis that can wiggle their way out of every unethical situation that they have ever got themselves in and come out smelling like a rose and make their wife like it eventually, because it means more ties for us, baby. It means more prestige for us, honey, when we've got a larger church than what we... Oh, I'm still in the Holy Ghost.
and the pain and the hurt that that bring. I'm not up here sucking sour grapes. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. You don't know my little neck of the woods where I lived. But it's been over 10 years since I had a Houdini steal some sheep from my flock. And I'm grateful for that. I don't have anything bad to say. But I'm telling you, in my first 20 years of pastoring, I counted up approximately 200 saints that I prayed through, that I taught Bible studies to, that I won to God. Amen. That I brought in to the kingdom of God. I had the Pentecostal Houdinis. Amen. That surrounded me. Pick them off one at a time, three families at a time, a few more families at a time. Amen. And brother, there's nothing. Amen. I know you don't pastor next door to Hollywood and fight the devils that I fight. But I'm going to tell you, I can handle all the devils that the world can put out. But you have no idea. Yes, you do. If you've got them in your region, you have no idea how discouraging that it is, how demoralizing that it is, how painful that it is. Amen. When you've got preachers that are around you that are supposed to be on your side. Amen. But they're as slick as they can be on cleaning out churches in their neighborhood. I saw one of them just a week ago. It's been 10 years, Brother Howard. And it felt like a hot, fresh knife in my heart as I saw him driving his van. He still lives the same place. You have no idea how that hurts a pastor's wife who has slaved, labored, given her all for the work of God. No. I know some will hear this on CD that are not here today. And I'm not aiming at any person. I'm aiming at the spirit of it. The spirit of it. The discouraging spirit of it. That keeps more couples from going on with a heart full of faith all the way to the cave of couples. Dreaming together, believing God together, exercising faith together. Amen. Oh, you say you haven't had opportunity, and I'm not talking about big church, little church. Because none of those who stole from me were big churches. So don't get the stupid idea that every big church is unethical and every little church is ethical. But while you're rejoicing at how good that Sunday night crowd looked with that new family, Mr. Houdini, would you please think for just a moment what that church is feeling that now has an empty pew to look at on the same Sunday night that you're rejoicing because you got them. I know there's proper reasons. Ooh, some of you wish we had it stop this service, but I'm not done yet. I'm trying to help preachers and preachers' wives, amen, and dealing with the worst issues that we got to fight. It's not worldliness. No, it's not technology. The biggest problem we got going, amen, is a whole bunch of apostolics that need a fresh baptism of loving your neighbor as yourself. Oh, hallelujah. I know there's reasons for people to leave churches. There are, I believe, four families in my church
that came from other churches through the 30 years that I've been there. But every last one of them has been because that neighboring pastor asked me if I would let them come to my church. Amen. Now the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. That doesn't just work with the doctrine. That doesn't just work with holiness. That works with ethics. God knows there's one neighbor close by that could get jealous of you. There's one neighbor that could have it in for you. There's one neighbor, could have a problem. But the Bible said, if half your neighbors that live around you say you're a sheep stealer, let every word be established. You are a sheep stealer. Is this too hard for you? Am I out of the book or am I in the book? The pain and the anguish and the agony that's going on in Pentecost. An unbelievable discouragement that's weighing on the shoulders of preachers' wives. My God, what's the use? What's the use? What's the use? I'm trying my very, very best. Can I say a couple of more comments about it before I move on? Taking saints that are not sent your way empowers rebellious people. Brother Houdini, I have to tell you that those who play in your orchestra and make you great while you're living will one day tell it all and expose you after you're gone. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. A lot of books have been written about Houdini. What a fake he was. Written about him. God. Oh, God. Amen. 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 My son called me up the other day. He's a pastor now. He said, Dad. He said, man. He said, I've started Spanish ministry because I can speak in Spanish. And he said, wow. He said, about the congregation just started growing on that service to about 70 people just in a few weeks of time. He said, I thought, wow, we having revival. Brother Howard's laughing back there. Yeah, he knows he used to pastor up in the North Bay where the Houdinis speak Espanol. He said, till I found out that all they're doing is inviting other people from other churches. That's all they're doing. And he said, I met with our people, Dad, because you taught me. You taught me that God wouldn't bless that if we took from other churches. You taught me that, Dad. And I met with them and said, it doesn't matter how small our group gets. Amen. We're not here to evangelize other churches. And he said, guess what, Dad? Amen. From 70, we shrunk back down to 6.
I said, keep it up, son. God's going to bless you. God's going to pour it out on you. Amen. There'll be some hungry hearts. Amen. That'll want God. Amen. You don't want those rebellious spirits empowered inside of your church. You don't want that happening. Amen. Oh, you say, what happened? What happened? What happened? What happened?
The Jewish religion's number one tenet of faith is not monotheism. Contrary to what you've heard, you've never read in their literature, if you believe it is. They will never tell you their number one tenet of faith is monotheism. They'll tell you it's ethical monotheism. And they'll say that the sons of Isaac are that different from the sons of Ishmael because they both claim to believe one God, but one thinks you can separate ethics from God, and the Jews know you can't separate the two. That's why the Sunnis can slaughter Shiites. That's why. Don't become a Pentecostal jihadist young preacher against your neighboring churches. Get enough of God in you that said, I am going to do it God's way. I'm going to live it God's way. Amen. You know what happens if you won't do it that way? Little by little, that tender conscience of your wife's that at first was convicted and said, oh, baby, I feel bad every time I see sister so-and-so. Are you sure? Are you sure that God told you to take those people? Like the God told you to cut your hair. God told you it was okay to wear jewelry. God will never tell you anything contrary to His Word. Never, ever, 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 ever. And the tender conscience of a wife, amen, starts getting affected, until finally she no longer even respects you. She no longer wants to be buried beside you. Oh God, the cave of couples. The cave of couples. Musicians, would you come? Through the bitter disappointments of life, the patriarchs failed again and again. But they kept being honest and real and transparent. And they helped their companions get up again and again and again all the way to the grave. They looked at one another and said, we're far from perfect. But let's dream again, babe. Honey, if you still believe in me, let's try to have revival one more year. Let's give it all we got. Let's let God use us. Let's let the Spirit of the Lord. Pharaoh had made an obvious offer to Joseph. You know, Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt. And a pyramid burial was for all of the important people, not just the Pharaohs. And the Egyptians had mourned for 70 days over Jacob's body. They had already embalmed him. They already had him fixed up to take him to one of the pyramids and put him in a special place of honor.
And Joseph said, I'm sorry, sir. Save your space in the pyramids for somebody else. Because my daddy, while he was dying, had me put my hand under his thigh. And he said, swear unto me, son. Swear unto me, son. No matter all the fame Egypt can offer, I don't want to be buried here. Swear unto me, son, that you'll take me, my bones, to the cave of couples. He said, because I digged a space with my own hands. Imagine Jacob saying, Leah, I got a little assignment I'm going to do today while we're over here. What are you doing, babe? That pick and that shovel. Why don't you have the servants do that? No. No. What are you doing? Said, I'm going over there to the cave of couples. And with my own hands, I'm digging a space for me and you to be buried in. Me and you are going to end this journey together, honey. I love you. You've been my easer all these years. You've been the divine help in a human package. Or I wouldn't have made it this far. We've stayed true to one another and we've stayed true to God. And now we're going to end the journey together and be buried together. Would you stand with me as we conclude tonight? I am asking every preacher in this place to go and take the hand of that divine help in a human package that God gave to you and come up to this altar together, making a pledge that we are going to end the journey at the cave of couples. I'd like to ask you to begin to pray for one another, to pray for your wife.